Good Tuesday morning. Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. Do you want to remind you that a little after 9:30, we'll have some representatives from Hope Ranch, including my predecessor, former KMAN News Director Kathy Dawes, will be in to talk about some expansion that Hope Ranch is doing at a camp in or near Topeka. Right now, across from me, I have Riley County Commissioner Ben Wilson and also Riley County Emergency Management Director Pat Collins. And let's talk a little bit more about the flooding event from Labor Day and some of the reaction there. And definitely before we go, remind me before we switch out and go to our next break, do maybe want to get a few comments on 9/11. Mitch and I were talking about 9/11 quite a bit this morning, kind of looking at that being 17 years since that day. But going back to the flash flood event, I think a lot of the talk now, as opposed to last week, is just kind of, well, how do we prevent this and kind of how rare of an event that was. I guess let's first talk about how rare of an event that was. I think initially when you had, Pat, you were there with City Manager of Manhattan, Ron Fear, with that initial press conference where Ron Fear said at the time, at least maybe what was maybe known at the time, of course, this was the day, this was on that Monday, there's maybe a 500-600-year event, but we now speculate that it might have been closer to a 1,000-year event.
Well, and that, and we're really sure that it was over the 500 years. So when you look at the 500 year or the 1% or 2% flood chance, we have that mapped out. It's in our firm maps. We have it on the website. There's a lot of things that show us where that is, and it appears that it was close to 2 feet, maybe above that in different places. And that goes clear back to Keats. I mean, we have the there were houses that were outside the 1% future conditions, which is more like the over the 500 year flood event, and they had floodwaters, you know, a foot deep, 2 feet, 2 foot deep in those. So that water coming down, of course, added to Natalie's Creek and Kitten Creek and some of those other tributaries. And then it hit Scenic Drive, and we know for sure that it was about 4 feet higher than what it was in 2011. So that's how much more water we had coming down the creek.
And let's go on this just a layer more, because I think a lot of people get confused when they hear like a 500 or 1,000-year flood and think that it means specifically that can only happen once every 1,000 years, but that's not exactly how it works.
No, it's like the 1% chance that it's going to happen or 2% chance it's going to happen. So they just call it a 500-year flood.
But it's really all about that probability rather than the time span.
Yeah. 1 out of 500 chance in any given year.
Yeah,
that's it. That's it. And Ben, you're telling me during break that one thing that the focus is now is on detention centers.
Yeah, so actually it was maybe 3 weeks ago, definitely before the flooding, we had a joint city county meeting where some consultants were following up. I think the issue had been started back in the 2011 flooding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where we were looking at putting in a couple detention dams on Fort Riley, so not like lake retention dams, but just detention dams. So when we have a big rain, it backs up as a lake, but then that all drains out to dry land again within a few days or a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And so, the recommendation that they brought back was to build two dams on Fort Riley, and it would cost about $9 million, but easily save that much in flood damage, especially if we had a 500-year flood, but even if we had, even with smaller flooding, it would probably pay for itself, or at least offset at least as much in damage over the next 50 years. About an eighth, I think, of the watershed drainage area is on Fort Riley, and the fort is open to us building the dams there, although they need permission from the Pentagon, and so right now the Pentagon's reviewing the plans. It could take out a decent fraction of the of the floodwaters coming, and an eighth or whatever it is might not seem like a lot, but if that makes the difference of whether all the water stays within the banks of Wildcat Creek or floods outside, that's a big difference in the amount of damage it causes. And even in floods where it would still exceed the banks, we could keep the depth of the flooding out, which reduces the amount of damage and the number of houses and other properties affected.
And Pat, would that be the most logistical, most likely to happen approach to maybe trying to prevent some of these flooding events in the future?
Well, that was part of the plan in 2011, and I know the city and the county both, when they see any kind of a development going in, they're putting in some kind of water retention in those facilities. So anything that drains off, it catches for just a short while and slows the flooding down. So anything we can put upstream, watershed dams or retention dams or detention dams, whatever we need up there would definitely help. And then, of course, the response side is the other side that would help. What we found is we've got about less than 10% of the people in the county that actually have subscribed to our mass notification system. So when at 4:30 in the morning the other morning when I kicked this out, not everybody along that Wildcat Creek got notified. And we have it built in. All I have to do is subscribe to that, and it's one of the first things we do to try to notify people that there's going to be flooding. And I think hitting the button on that and notifying people and getting them to move their stuff early is critical also. So I think there's a couple parts of this. One is the long term prevention, and the other side is short term notification and response.
And it is really easy to sign up for it. I think I do remember hearing like a lot of people say that I was notified in a little bit advance because I did sign up for that and was able to prepare myself.
Yeah, we got about I think there's 1,300 people signed up for that subscription, but I think we have a real transient community here, and it's hard to keep those people in some of the apartment complexes notified.
It is here with Riley County Emergency Management Director Pat Collins, who you just heard speaking. We also have Riley County Commissioner Ben Wilson in studio with us, and you mentioned some of those things. When it really comes to going back to what Ben was talking about, and like some retention dams and some of those sort of things, obviously very costly sort of projects that definitely you're talking millions
right
out of the gate, no matter what. So when it comes to that, is that where city, county officials need a lot of help from the state or a lot of help from the federal government or both? Because I have to feel like if it's just up to the county, if that's going to happen, then there's going to have to be a lot of mill levy increases to pay for stuff like that.
Right. The question of who would pay $9 million for those two dams or for any other retention dams, that's a big question. Like you mentioned, we could ask the federal government or the state government for money. No guarantee that they would be able to provide money, but it's
'cause the city did try recently, and I think they tried for a federal grant and it got denied.
Right, for specifically along Wildcat Creek to reduce flooding. Yes, if the project's on Fort Riley, maybe there'd be some military-related money available. I don't know. Might be worth looking into. It could easily turn out to be split between the city and the county. I think another option would be a watershed district, although that presents some other challenges. It would be a new taxing authority and a new entity that has eminent domain power.
This would be at the county level?
So it would be just the properties in the watershed district, so all the properties that drain into Wildcat Creek.
Okay, but as far as setting it up, it'd be the county would need to set it up.
Right. And so I've heard some concerns, especially Commissioner Wells has been pretty outspoken against that option because you have a new taxing authority that has eminent domain powers within the county that's not controlled by the county or the city, although I guess the members would be elected. I don't know if there'd be another way to set up like a benefit district that just has maybe the developed properties in the floodplain, or so it's the ones that contribute more to the flooding and are harmed more by the flooding that would pay more of the bill for the detention dams. But yeah, you kind of have the tension of, do you spread the cost out over more people countywide and state or federal level, or do you have just the people that contribute to and benefit from the flooding reduction pay the bulk of the costs, and how do you set that up fairly?
The classic battle, right? Everybody wants everything, but then when it comes to paying for it, let's take a closer look. Hold on a little bit. Yeah, it's that classic battle, especially in local government, especially in Kansas and local government.
I'm sorry to jump in, but could you describe that watershed district just a little bit more regarding how it works politically?
Do you know much about that, Pat?
It's actually written out and described really well in the Wildcat Creek Plan. If you go to the county or city website, it's outlined. But it does it's its own body, its own jurisdiction, and there are some things that it can do. It can go in and actually place a watershed dam where it sees where the need is, and that's where eminent domain comes in, where you go in and just take this property and build a dam on somebody's property. So that's been one of the really concerns over the years, is we really don't need another form of government out here, and especially one with that kind of power. But it is built into that Wildcat Creek Plan if we ever need that.
Here with Riley County Emergency Management Director Pat Collins, also Riley County Commissioner Ben Wilson. And before we go, Pat, you being involved in emergency management, county fire chief, I think that there was any silver lining of 9/11 17 years ago today, is that it really made us realize just how important first responders are, and how much those folks are to our society and to our well-being. And just whatever thoughts you might have on this day, being somebody involved in emergency management.
Well, I think the key is that we have people every day, whether they're paid or volunteer, that rush into emergency responses to help people and put their lives at risk, and that's what we saw in 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a phone call, Nick? Mm-hmm. All right, caller, you're on In Focus. Go ahead.
You know, talking about the retention ponds out there on the property and where to put them, it's not the government coming in and demanding the ponds. It's value added to the farmland out there. Then the cattle can drink from them, livestock. They came in down there in Chautauqua County, my uncle's place, and put ponds all over the place. It was FEMA, Army Corps, and it stopped that flooding on the Caney River. So it's a value added to both the society and the farmers. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that call.
Yeah, that's a good point. I also think about like Lake Elbow, and maybe if there's a developer that would like to turn some of the buy some of the land in the watershed district, and you could build a nice lake community out there too. I mean, you'd have to find the right location along there, but that could be a way that adds value to the property while also reducing flooding by putting in a detention or retention pond.
One thing for Pat, did you have something?
Well, I was going to say I knew a guy that had built a brand new pond, and he didn't put a drain in it and didn't put an overflow, and the pond washed away. So building the ponds correctly is critical also.
Very key. If there's anything that I think we'll take from the flash flood event last Monday, is that it seems like there is definitely maybe more of an emphasis and urgency to get something figured out there, and hopefully everybody's going to work together to do that. Speaking of working together, I've appreciated working with you two fine gentlemen over the years, and I won't be a stranger. I'll come back and visit for some K-State games and such, but I've enjoyed working with you both.
Yes.
Even back to my newspaper days.
You too. Thank you.
Let's go to a break. We come back, we'll talk with some folks from Hope Ranch, including former news director Kathy Dawes. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by the McCain Performance Series at